Beloved Bhagwan, when he was with Kyozan, Ryusen was the monk in charge of food. One day, a strange monk came and asked for a meal, at which Ryusen gave him part of his own. Kyozan knew of this, but called Ryusen to him and asked, "That enlightened monk who came just now, did he give you any food?" Ryusen said, "He denied himself and passed on his alms." Kyozan commented, "You made a great profit."
Munisa, the understanding of sin is not an ordinary understanding, for the simple reason that Zen does not care about language, does not care about common communications. It has evolved its own way, a unique way. So those who are spectators and are afraid to enter into the stream, will feel the cool breeze, but will not understand the heart of Zen. In one word, Zen has contributed to the world a totally new language, a totally new communication, a very fresh communion, just in the morning as the lotus opens. So newness is that of Zen. The sun rises, the lotus opens, and the dew drops on the lotus leaves shine more better than the real pearl. It is a very delicate matter and rather than putting Zen into any categorization, religion is too strict and hard, and in that very hardness the heart is crushed to death. Philosophy is so vague, making castles in the air. Beautiful castles. But it does not bring to the world any new fragrance, any new form of transformation. Zen in some way accumulates all that man has created, but its approach is more aesthetical. All religions talk of truth. Religion talks about beauty. In fact, truth, beauty, and God, Satyam Shivam Sundaram, has been the ancient search. These are the three doors, Satyam, truth. Truth is a little hard. Demands too much of you. Hence, many never bother about what is the truth. Godliness seems to be far away, beyond the skies. The distance is so great that it discourages the traveler. Beauty is very close. In the flowers, in the birds singing, a solitary cuckoo deep in the forest, gives a love call . Zen's approach is to find the truth but not to be so hard as philosophers tend to be. More peaceful and more graceful. That's why no philosopher in the whole history of man has raised his consciousness to the point where you can call him a Buddha. He talks much of things beyond, but if you look into his ordinary life, he is just as you are. all his flights of thought and dreamlands are writings on water. Writings on paper don't differ from writings on water. The only difference is water is quick and finishes the writing. The papers, the books, the scriptures will take a long time. Zen has a very musical approach, a very poetic approach, the approach of a dancer, the approach of a lover. You have to treat existence with loving hands. You have arisen out of it. You will be dissolved into it one day. It is your life, it is your death. But whether in life or in death, you will remain part of the cosmos. Zen does not talk about God. For the simple reason that there is no person as God. What is there? A tremendous quality of eternal life all around. Nothing dies. If this wave is disappearing, another wave is coming. And the disappearing wave will simply go to sleep just to rest and will be back soon. Hence, I will not say anything about God. Zen does not talk about it. But it certainly implicates godliness. Then God becomes melted ice. Then the personality of God disappears into all living beings. Then God is not a person, but the very existence. The religions have been concerned about God and good. And they have created fossilized dogmas, and they are not willing even to change a little. Although anybody can see the foolishness, The foolishness is not of God. That poor fellow is suffering from our hands. Somebody has made elephant a god. Somebody has made a monkey a god. Without even their permission. There are people who worship trees, and trees must be having giggling that why these idiots waste their time, bring flowers and coconuts. Our own coconut has gone on a missionary trip. He was here. And it was good coincidence that when he was here, our Stonehenge, Niskriya, the first German Zen master, was not here. A single hit on the poor coconut who used to go to Goa and come back and do you know why people offer coconuts, there was a time some 5,000 years back when actual men's heads were offered, living men, young, in robust health, that was the condition. But because it was a great ritual, and whoever offered became immensely loved by the society, and particularly the idea of meeting the gods. But slowly, slowly, people started thinking that this is very stupid. Nobody has returned. Nobody has even written a postcard that we have arrived. Or any kind of news. And it looks so inhuman. Coconut is the substitute because it has a little beard, two eyes, hairs. If you go into implications of your religious rituals, you will find strange things hidden behind them. you will find the statues of monkey god Ganesha. You can make any stone just by painting the stone with red. And soon people will start worshipping. When for the first time British Empire started to put tracks for the railway lines, they were in a very great difficulty because they could not put the stone to denote the miles. Wherever they will put the stone, they will make it bright red, because bright red is visible more than any other color. And it was a difficulty for them. The villagers will come, will bring some sweets, some flowers. A god has arrived in their town. The British officers tried hard that what you are doing, this is just a stone. And the villagers laughed. They said, you don't understand. This is not a stone. This is the symbol of God Ganesha. Why red became so important? It was symbolic of blood. You could not pour blood on the god, but you could paint and nobody will think the connection that first blood was poured and later on thousands of years man has been cutting man's head, offering head with blood oozing out of it as a little intelligence arose. They substituted the head with the coconut and they substituted blood with red color. But if you tell them you are in danger, you have hurt their religious feelings. I hear this word religious feelings only when it is hurt. Otherwise, nobody knows what are these religious feelings. Zen is the purest religion with no hang-ups. Before I take the sutras, a little biographical note. Ryu Sen was a disciple of Kyozan. He became a monk at the age of 7 and studied Zen under Daiji, a disciple of Hayakujo, and then went to Kyozan, under whom he became enlightened. When Ryu Sen was about to die, at midnight he said to his monks, "If you use of the mind of the three worlds, that is Nirvana." Saying this, he sat in the proper manner and passed away. A man who has been going deeper into meditation passes the door of death many times. Whenever he goes, he passes it. Whenever he comes back, it is simple to understand that death has nothing to do with life. Death is a door. If you move inside the door, you move into the universe. If you move outside the door, you move into the mortal existence. And because we go on living on the outside our whole life, the fear of death arises. And out of fear, it is a chain, then other things will arise. Out of fear you will believe in God. Out of fear you will believe in the priest. Out of fear you will go to the temple, to the mosque, to the church. Out of fear you will fast. Out of fear you will worship. Out of fear you will do all kinds of things. But anything done out of fear is not religious. That point is absolute. Anything arising out of fear cannot lead you to truth. Truth needs guts and courage. It comes out of a loving search. The inquirer is a lover. He is trying to find the ultimate lover. Even the ordinary love affairs are stepping stones. I am not against love for the simple reason that's how you will learn something in fragments, and each love affair will give you some maturity, some integrity. But love is in bondage. The society has sealed every love. Anything that becomes a law becomes dead. When love becomes a marriage, you are committing suicide. If love remains a freedom, step by step, you will be able to reach your innermost being, and you will have a good laughter that the search was for yourself. The lover and the loved are not two. Other loves were failing because you were depending on the other. Unless you find in your inner consciousness both together, the love and the lover, we have in India one of the most beautiful statues ancient, because they have been found even in the excavations of Harappa and Mohenjo-daro. That statue is of Ardhanarishvara. The half part of the statue is male and the half part of the statue is female. A tremendous insight only Carl Gustav Jung in this century brought the case again, that what does it mean? Of course, as a psychologist, he had a certain insight but his insight was the lowest possible. He interpreted Ardhanarishvara as men and women all have their opposite sex also within them. It is true, because you are born out of a father and a mother. Both have contributed. How you can be only male? And how you can be only female? But he stopped there. That statue needs more deeper exploration. It is saying that if you go deep in meditation, a moment comes when the lover finds the beloved not as a separate entity, but one with oneself. One is both the lover and the loved. This non-duality . This non-dichotomy takes you to the point of the highest peak of consciousness, where everything starts blossoming. Ryusen moved from master to master with an open heart, with a receptivity, with a begging bowl, and finally he found Kyozan, and it is a strange experience when you find your master deep in your heart, so many bells start ringing. So much dance, every cell of your being, it becomes a celebration. You have found the master. And when he found Kyozan, the road has come to an end. Then he remained with Kyozan . He became enlightened. He established a new monastery in the mountains. And the night the death was going to come to him, he asked his disciples to wait . Because in the middle of the night, I am going to leave my body. And this has been a Zen tradition, that at the last moment, disciples asked the master, whatever is the most prominent question in their minds, because the master will not be available anymore. Rayu-san said, if you use up the mind of the three worlds, that is nirvana. Saying this, he said in the proper manner, that is lotus posture, and passed away. What does he mean? According to Gautama Buddha, and confirmed by all the awakened ones, we are divided into three parts: the body, the mind, the being. And every part has its own mind. Even the body has its own mind. Without the body having its own mind, you will not be able to live a single moment. Because so much work is going inside you, the blood circulation, the food is being transformed into its basic elements, and different parts of the body need different kind of nourishment. The blood is continuously running, distributing. For example, if your mind does not get for 6 minutes oxygen, it will die. And with it, you will die too. And the wisdom of the body is independent, because you have to sleep too. In sleeping, you may forget breathing. In fact, even waking, you cannot remember your breathing. If you can remember your breathing for 1 minute, you are on the right path. You will be surprised that you cannot remember even for 1 minute. So many distractions. Just put your wristwatch in front of you. Start looking. And suddenly you forget. You say, aha. So stone head is going with his staff somewhere. And you have forgotten what your work was. And then you remember and then you feel repentful. And then you are again wasting time. Go back and remember. It takes months to remember a single minute continuously without being distracted. All kinds of distractions are there. Bananas. You cannot resist being distracted. The mind has his own mind too. That's why you are not needed if your brain surgery is needed, your whole mind can be taken out and put in a proper condition where it gets the same nourishment . It is amazing that you will not know that you have taken out of the body, and you will not know that any difference is there. You will still counting on lottery. That let us see what happens this time. Tomorrow the lottery is going to be opened. And all kinds of things that were going on inside you will continue. I have heard about a politician. They have to take his brain out to clean it. So much dust, so much garbage. So they took the brain out in another room and left the politician . A man came suddenly running in and woke up the politician that what you are doing here? You have been declared president of the country. It was looking a little different. When a person becomes a president, naturally it looks a little different, he thought. And he was going out with the friend, while the doctors called him, "Where are you going? Your brain is still in the lab." He said, "At least for 5 years, I will not need it." It is possible and is going to become an actuality. We have wasted so much brain energy Einstein's mind or Bertrand Russell's mind could have been kept. If they want to go, let them go. Their minds need a certain nourishment that will be given artificially. And they can be kept alive as long as you want. And they can continue to work. We have wasted so many minds. The day is not far away when great minds will be saved for the progress of science, for the progress of consciousness. When the dying master said, if you use up the mind of the three worlds, it is nirvana. If you can create a synchronicity between your mind, your being and the body, you have come to your fulfillment. Now there is no more I am leaving this body. In the middle of the night, otherwise in the morning, as the news will spread, so many people will come to prevent me. Out of their love, out of their respect. So I am leaving this body like a thief. Remember my words as the last words of one who knows. Now the sutra. Beloved Bhagwan, when he was with Kayozan, Rayu Sen was the monk in charge of food. One day, a strange monk came and asked for a meal, at which Rayu Sen gave him part of his own. Kayozan knew of this, but called Rayu Sen to him and asked, that enlightened monk who came just now, did he give you any food? Rayu Sen said, he denied himself and passed on all his alms. Kayozan commented, you made a great profit. There are things which you can see, and there are things far more superior, far more precious that you cannot see. In this incidence, the strange monk asked Rayusen, who was in charge of the food of the monastery, but there was nothing spare, only his own food was left, so he gave part of it to the stranger. This is on the visible part. Anybody can see it. Kayozan, the master, was seeing what is happening. He is also seeing what is not ordinarily seen. He called Rayusen and asked that enlightened monk who came just now, did he give you any food? He is asking him, did he give you anything in return? Rayusen said, he denied himself and passed on all his alms. Rayozan commented, you made a great profit. Rayozan has given only a small part of his food, but the strange monk soured him with all his joy and blissfulness, with all his light and love, which are not visible to the ordinary eye, but which are visible to one who is in the same state and height of consciousness. Rayozan had seen everything, but he wanted to know whether Rayozan has consciously received with thankfulness what that strange monk has given to him. He does not call him a strange monk. In the beginning, the anecdote says, a strange monk, but Kayozan calls him the enlightened monk. He was simply watching whatever was going on, the exchange. What Rayusen gave was material. Anybody can see it, but what he regained is immaterial. It is spiritual. You can see it only if your inner eye is open. Listening To Rayusen's answer, Kayozan commented, "You made a great deal. You gave him ordinary food and he sours so much nourishment on you without being asked." You have made a great profit. The Buddha created a line which deviated from Hinduism on every point. On smaller immaterial points too. For example, the Hindu sannyasin for centuries has been called Swami, the master. It has its own reasons. It is to remind him that you are the master. Don't get subdued either by your mind or by anybody else. But it has also a danger. And the danger is calling somebody a Swami, he may start thinking that he is a Swami. And it may simply give nourishment, strength to his ego. The target has been missed. Buddha changed. He did not call his sannyasins Swami. He called them just the opposite, Bhikshu, the beggar. Why he changed it? There were reasons. You should be as humble as a beggar. You should be as humble as to see how much existence is pouring for your growth. You must be so humble so that you can find your master. It was an absolutely extreme from Swami to Bhikshu. But Buddha gave Bhikshu a great meaning. He made it golden. There are fingers which make things golden. There are people whose words bring the worldless into the world. Isa wrote, "Cuckoo's crying, nothing special to do, nor has the bird. Zen's whole vision is everything is exactly right in its place. You have just to relax. You don't have to do anything to make a better world. It is your activity which is making it more worse every day. The lazy people certainly have one quality. They have never disturbed anybody. Lazy people cannot be Chinggis Khan, killing 30 million people. They cannot be Timur Lane, killing 40 million people. They cannot be Nadir Shah. They cannot be Alexander the Great. They cannot be Napoleon. They cannot be Ivan the Terrible. They cannot be Stalin's Mussolini's Adolf Hitler's. Lazy people has one thing good. Because they cannot afford so much trouble, they remain out of trouble. You may not have seen an authentic lazy man, but he is sitting before you. I have never done anything, so the question of good and bad does not arise. Manisha has asked, "Beloved Bhagwan, does the urge to understand ever become a violation of the mystery of life?" Manisha, nothing can be the violation of the mystery of life, for the simple reason that there is no solution. So you can do as much gymnastics what people call mind fucking. But the mystery remains the same. It is good time for Sardar Gurdjieff Singh. George is watching a TV show when it is interrupted by a special bulletin, good evening, the announcer says, the directors of the National Institute of Health have announced that as of today, they will no longer be using rats in their experiments. Instead, they will use liars. The chief director gave three reasons for the change. First, there are more liars than rats. Second, the lab technicians don't get as attached to liars as they do to rats. And third, there are just some things that rats won't do. Mary returns home to America after her marriage to a Polak. She meets her friend Susan on the street. I heard you got married in Poland. Susan exclaims, yes, says Mary, and after our wedding, my husband gave me the longest, hardest thing I have ever seen. Ah, really? Shriek Susan. What was that? Mary replies, his name. Fred and Bill, two historians, are comparing ancient and modern history. Do you remember Julius Caesar's war slogan? Asks Bill. Yes, replies Fred. In Latin it was Vini, Vidi, Vici. It means I came, I saw, I conquered. Correct, says Bill. And nowadays all the young Caesars have a different slogan. Vidi, Vici, Vini. I saw, I conquered, I came. silent. Close your eyes and feel your body to be completely frozen. Now look inwards with your total consciousness, your whole life energy. And with an urgency as if it is your last moment of life, you have to reach to the center of your being . It is from this center you are connected with the universe . Those who have reached this point are called Buddhas, the awakened ones, because they know what they appear they are not, and what is hidden can be known only by themselves. Their outer personality starts melting like ice. This moment you are all Buddhas. And the Buddha auditorium has become a lake full of lotuses, utterly silent. Just witness all this, because witnessing is your only nature. Everything is added to you. Witnessing is your eternity. To make it clear, Nivedana, relax and remain a witness. The body is there, the mind is there, but you are neither. You are just a witness, a pure witness, without any flaw. Is the goal of all the Buddhas. Melt, melt. For the first time, know your real nature. The evening was beautiful on its own, but 10,000 Buddhas it has not seen for centuries. There is rejoicing. Flowers are showering on you. Collect as many flowers as possible and persuade the Buddha to come from the hidden to the circumference. And remember around the clock as many times as possible that you are the Buddha. Nivedana, come back, but come back as Buddhas. That is your dignity and your privilege. Peacefully, gracefully, sitting for a few moments, just to recollect the depth you have reached, because every day you have to go deeper. Deeper you will go, the Buddha will come closer. If you take one step towards the Buddha, he takes 1,000 steps. And remember the blissfulness, the peace, the serenity in your acts, in your behavior, in your gestures. In your words, in your silences, fill your whole life with roses. Okay, Manisha?
Yes, Bhagwan.